Hey, Scott.
Yeah, Scott. Dude.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm here.
I just had Andrew Basevich. He's
oh, cool.
You know, and he and I, you know, we've kind of conflicted a little bit because my thing is he's going on McMaster, and it really didn't matter his opinion until I understood, you know, about, you know, having somebody in it, until I understood what he thought should happen. We're going to need to engage in the South China Sea. The world's a complicated place. We got to go whip ass. You know, and we'll talk about it. Here we go.
Basevich is bad on China, dude.
Good News Network. And now, live from the studios of Freedom's Phoenix, Ernest Hancock.
Believe me when I say we have a difficult time ahead of us. But if we are to be prepared for it, we must first shed our fear of it. I stand here without fear because I remember. I remember that I am here not because of the path that lies before me, but because of the path that lies behind me. I remember that for 100 years we have fought these machines. And after a century of war, I remember that which matters most. We are still here! Remember, we are not afraid!
Yeah! Not afeared, but relatively concerned. You know, we just had on Andrew Basevich. He's a professor, you know, from Boston University, graduate from the U.S. Military Academy. He received his Ph.D. in American diplomatic history from Princeton, and he's explaining it to us. And my thing, and I get the impression, this is my impression, Scott. What happens is you get a lot of requests to speak or PR, and they're on the tour. And there, you know, you put them on different, you know, PR places that we, over the years, over a dozen years, you get on these lists. And I go, yeah, okay, he wants to talk about, okay, let's go talk about that. What's his concern about McMaster? McMaster's too focused. He's a military guy. How come we can't have a suit? And we have a military guy that is really focused on his experiences, both Gulf Wars, and it's all Middle East, and we cause problems, and we just can't finish, and we'll just go and take care of it. McMaster wrote a book on Vietnam. I'm not sure what his position was. You know, give us more bombs or unleash the dog or not go or something. And I'm going, okay. And we talk about what I keep hammering on you is South China Sea. I mean, I'm, you know, he had an opinion. We got to go engage because we got to make happy Korea and Japan and India and China. We got to engage. We're going to engage. It's how we're going to engage. And the option of not engaging or just, hey, man, you know, not my problem, or we just do business deals, or you don't want us to have an island, we'll just build our own, though you're not allowed, you know. And it's not the option. It seems to me the full court press in the media and the talking heads and the shows is that it is going to be, there's going to be an engagement, and how is Trump going to do it, not if he does it. And who's going to advise on how he's going to go whip ass? That is my opinion of what is being propagated through this thing. And when you challenge him, go, wait. America, I mean, he actually said it. You know, America, you know, our interests are protected. And I'm going, okay, what the hell is that? And how do my kids and grandkids care? And it's more debt. They don't care. We're going to engage. You know, what do you know about Andrew Basevich, Scott? Help me out.
All right. Well, first of all, you know, overall, he's great, and he's just about one of the best anti-war voices that we have in this society right now, especially when it comes to Middle East stuff. And people ask me all the time, hey, what's one good book I should read to kind of introduce me to what's going on in the Middle East? And it's him. It's Basevich. His most recent book is called America's War for the Greater Middle East. And it's basically, it's the smart guy version of the same book that I'm writing or trying to write here about the terror war, the whole history of the terror war from the Carter years all the way through. And he's just great, man. He's really sharp. He's a hell of a scholar. He's completely against, you know, any intervention in the Middle East at this point. He is for complete withdrawal from the Middle East. He's So that's, you know, what's great about his positions. I mean, he really is. His book is the single book that I would have you go read, Ernie, about what's going on in the Middle East, America's War for the Greater Middle East.
Well, I'm getting the impression, you know, from my perspective, our intervention in, you know, America and her interest Middle East crap is what caused the problem. And I'm not sure he recognizes it. It's like he wants to repeat it, or we get involved in the South. You know, our interventions in the Middle East didn't work out, so we're going to intervene differently in Southeast Asia. And I'm going,
yeah, well, no, I've asked him about that myself, you know. And I guess his, I mean, it's easy to say, well, you know, he's got to stay in with the professional warmonger crowd to some degree or something. He's got to soften his stance, his anti-war stance, in order to remain acceptable or whatever. I don't really think that's it. I think he really thinks that, as he put it to me on my show before, that the American presence in Asia, meaning we occupy Japan, we keep them under our thumb, but a friendly relationship. Yeah. Same with South Korea and the Philippines, and to keep China more or less hemmed in, and to keep any of these other countries, Vietnam, Philippines, Japan, South Korea, from taking matters into their own hands and trying to forge their own separate relationship with China, which could get really complicated really fast. And so he believes that having America as the overlord of East Asia is, at least for now, keeping things stable. That if we withdrew from there, that things would get much more chaotic, as opposed to in the Middle East, where if we withdrew from there, it could only be to the good. I mean, there might still be a civil war for a while, but all we're doing in the Middle East is making matters worse and worse.
The same reasons is going to happen, Scott. The same thing, same reason.
Well, I'm not arguing with you. I'm just trying to explain to you the way it is.
No, I understand, and I can see that, you know, these people, these opinions are elevated to go out and spread the word, man. We got to, you know, go talk to Scott and Ernie and convince them, and I'm not convinced. So, because when they say we, they're always talking about, you know, America and country and our team versus their team. And it's like all these colors on a globe that show the countries. It's kind of like gang colors or something. Our gang's bigger than your gang. We got to watch out for your gang and the Bloods and the Crips doing it. I don't care. There's no advocacy for there being a gazillion ties in trade between, you know, 13-year-olds in Las Vegas and, you know, kids in Beijing selling, you know, Pokemon cards or something. I mean, it's just, there's always going to be nation states versus nation states, which is what he said. You know, you got nation, the world is nation states, man. And I'm going, well, who are they? Well, the elite in each country. I go, yeah, exactly. That's exactly what it is. I want to know what the elite in this country are going to make. It's not if, it's how, and yeah, we're going to interfere. And I'm going, that thinking, no matter how much you think it, he gives a really good depiction of what happened here, but over here, the principle of not creating all this blowback, the principle of not, no, we don't need a twice as big a Navy. We're going to, so what does China do? All right, fine. We just launched satellite killers. We just showed, we blew up one of our own satellites just to show you we can. Oh, and then we're going to put a Chinese base on the moon and Mars, and we're doing and we're building. We got a whole bunch more in percentage, and we get a lot more bang for our money because we just, you know, do some whip-ass missiles on, bring in your aircraft carrier, and we got some hypersonics, and it's cheaper and done. And I'm going, there is no winning this. But they want to have this control and our influence and our interest. And when the dollar goes, the economics is totally evades them. Doesn't even occur to them. The debt, not even on their radar. We got to have this presence. And that philosophy, no matter how much he's accurate on this other stuff, taints his view of what our focus was, McMaster. You know?
Yeah.
We hardly even talk about that.
On the other hand, I mean, it's sort of like, you know, if all the best anti-war people are all perfect on everything and as libertarian as hell, then nobody's ever going to listen to us at all. You know, like, in a way, it's sort of good that you have this guy who's a right-winger who is, you know, absolutely for keeping the current Constitution and for keeping the Pentagon, for keeping the Navy and the Army and the Air Force. He just doesn't want to use them in the worst of the dumbest ways they've been used lately.
And
that's still good for what it is and to cite in context. I mean, I agree with you on China, he's all wet, but so let's focus on what he says about Iraq, because that's some really smart stuff, man.
Yeah, no, I understand, you know, this. You know, we're doing it wrong. It should have been done better. But the option of not doing it is not even discussed. It's not, there's no, well, you know, we've had a net positive influence on the world by our president. How the hell would you know? You know, we haven't disengaged. We haven't, you know, peace out. Let me know how it works out. We're done. Well, we have our allies. You know, so what? What's happened? Philippines go, screw you. We're going with China and Russia. F you.
All right, now, wait, let me put it this way, though. Let me try to play devil's advocate a little bit. If I'm the president and you're my national security advisor in this real world, and we absolutely are determined to withdraw from Asia, don't we need to kind of have a conference and make sure that the various governments in the region are on the same page a little bit as we pull out, so that they don't.
You know what the other governments are going to be in?
What people in the
what the people in the streets say. It's going to come down to the people. This whole populist thing with Brexit and what's going on in France and here in the U.S. is representative of something.
This is Donna Hancock with Silver Alliance Realty.
I mean, representative of something, and that something is not. They're still in an elite mentality of we're going to tell you what you need to know. We're going to do what needs to be done for us and our interest, our interest. Anytime they can't help themselves, America and her interest. I mean, it's like right out of Iron Man, for America and her interest. Okay, what the hell, one, is America, and two, in her interest? What's America? What's great? You know, what's your metric? You know, how many ass, you know, am I going to hear Trump about how many, you know, people he's killed or whipped ass on? And there's 400-something% increase in drone strikes since Trump's been in office.
Yeah.
I'm going... I'm not feeling good about this. Who's advising this? Who's really in charge? And I got, you know, that was a question I don't think that he was prepared
General
for.
General Mattis, dude. I mean, look, don't act surprised. I told you this whole time. He's going to escalate the terror war. I said, if there's one good thing about the guy at all, which is more and more a big if,
what
it's
guy,
that he
McMaster?
Wants to back off Russia, but he wants to
Who?
Let the
Who
Air Force...
Who are we talking about, McMaster's?
No, Trump.
Okay, Trump.
Trump, he may want to back off Russia, although so far he's doing a pretty damn lousy job of that. He just appointed a complete raving loon to be the ambassador to NATO, another hardcore Russia hawk. But, you know, remember Horton's Law. Good promises mean nothing. Bad promises you can take to the bank. And he said all along, we're going to knock the hell out of ISIS. Well, translate that into English. That means he's going to send the Marine Corps. He's going to send the Special Forces and the Special Operations Command, you know, JSOC and SOCOM. He's going to send the CIA, and he's going to send the Marines in some cases, and he's going to go to, say it with me now, Afghanistan, Pakistan, Yemen, Somalia, Libya, Syria, Iraq, everywhere America's been in the last 15 years and has created al-Qaeda-friendly battlefields in the last 15 years, we are going to be fighting there for 8 years of Trump, guaranteed.
You know, and what did
and
that
the
do?
The deal for the
what
Air Force and the Navy is you guys get to have your air-sea battle build up in Asia.
And what did
That's
we? What did we do? Here comes China. They come in with a suitcase, and we're just going to spend some money, and we'll do it. And we don't even have to invade, and we don't need a tank. We got Chinese guys with you know, black suits and ties, and going, you know, men in black, and taking care of business. And they go to Libya, and they set up oil production. They get all, we bombed the shit out of Libya, kick the Chinese out. You're not allowed in Africa. We're going to, you know, force a petrodollar on there and keep it going. One more election cycle. One more election cycle. And China's like, really? Is this kind of policy? Okay, you know, can't have islands, we'll build our own islands. Nope, you're not allowed. Why? Because we say. And I'm going, it's like they're building up for the same reasons, in the same way, just different geography. It's going to be more a naval thing than a, you know, land thing. You know, in Southeast, in China Sea, is the same freaking thing we did in the Middle East. And it's going to be problems that we got to put out the fires of it. Stop lighting fires. And it's not an option. They don't learn anything.
But you know what? I mean, I know you have this in Arizona the same way we have it in Texas. It's not all the time, but sometimes it happens, and they get busted. The firefighters set the fire so that they've got something to do. That's their job. That's how they extract money from us. Hell, sometimes it's the volunteer firefighters do it. This is because they're bored. And they need something to put out. And sometimes innocent people lose their homes in the process, too. It happens. I mean, that's the name of this game, dude. This is your security force. Well, what good are they if nobody's trying to kill you, dude?
Yeah,
you know, step one, scare Ernie. Step two, defend him.
All right, we're coming back. Here we go.
What's up next? Visit the Liberty Radio Network program guide to find out at shows.lrn.fm. That's shows.lrn.fm.
To be a part of the show, call 602-264-2800. 602-264-2800. 864-2800. And now, Ernest Hancock.
Oh, we're back. I didn't have my thing plugged in from yesterday. Oh, sorry. All right. Now, this is Scott and I have been talking off air, about that. It's kind of we're coming. I don't like having limited conversations where it's how we're going to do something. It's how we're going to do it. And I go, well, why do we do it? Can we not do it? Nope, not an option. Not an option. Not. I wouldn't be prudent at this juncture. This is the world's more. And then you get things like, well, the world's more complicated than that. It's more complicated. Who complicated it? Why is it complicated? I want to buy widgets from a kid in freaking Shanghai and send them Bitcoin and it showed and we're done and I travel to and visit and say, nope, that's not how it works. Why doesn't it work that way? Because the United States got a freaking aircraft carrier group off the coast of everything. And I'm going, yeah. That is not discussed. That's not on the table. You're not allowed to talk about that. That's not why I'm here. I'm here to propagandize that we're going to do it. It's how we're going to do it. He picked the wrong guy to do it, and I want to make sure they got the right thing, and the memo says that I'm supposed to support, we'll go kick ass. And I'm going, is there another? Nope, not another option. You don't get it. It's more complicated. No, it's effing not. You know, I
agree with you, man. And wow. Look, you know, China's not a military threat to anyone. You know, They clearly, their Politburo has clearly made the decision that they're not trying to challenge American global military supremacy. That would be completely stupid. And they are the number one financiers of our military as it is anyway. Well, them and the Koreans financing our debt. They're our second biggest trading partner after Canada, I think. Maybe third after Mexico. But there's bazillions of dollars at stake. They have no need. It's not like they're threatened by Vietnam and Japan and Korea, other than we are putting those allied states of ours in the position of, you know, hemming them in and that kind of thing. But even, you know, like you look at their interests in Africa, you don't see, you know, giant military bases everywhere and stuff. They're investing with dollars. Although, actually, I guess they are putting a little base in Djibouti in Eastern Africa now. But anyway, I mean, whatever problems we have with China all can be negotiated. There's no reason to kick ass. There's no reason to be in a fight with them. And just look at the facts. We can't be in a fight with them.
Right.
They've got H-bombs.
Right.
That's it. Right. End of the argument.
This is a brinkmanship battle of we're willing and our guy's crazier than your guy. You know, it's a Ronald Reagan thing. We don't know what the Cowboy's going to do, man. I think he will. Ooh, you know, I see this playing out all over, and this is the conflict that's going to affect my grandchildren right now. You know, this is, you know, my grandchildren that are, you know, first, second grade, and they're going to grow up, and it's 10 years from now, and all of a sudden you're drafted to go fight this thing, and oh, my God, and the Chinese. I feel it all over again, and they don't care. They don't care. You know, where's the addressing of the debt? No, we get more money, and it's just a sellout. It is more money for the military and these engagements or whatever the hell it is, and I'm going, okay, what do I get for it? Oh, well, you get more infrastructure. The left is going to love, we're going to have a make work program for them. We're going to build bridges. You know, and I'm going, you know, I'm not feeling any better. And the advocacy is not if, it's how. So they're going, well, I don't know if McMaster, you know, really understands how much ass-kicking we need to do in Southeast Asia. Now, if he understood that, then we'd go over and engage and do some more ass-whipping. Or so I'm going, okay, who are you representing? Are you against this shadow government? Or are you part of it? You know, who is pushing this? We have to engage more military Navy, more high tech, whatever, smaller force with more jumpsuits of kick ass. I got, you know, laser phaser rifle of the infantry of my flying platform, Dick Tracy thing. You know, I see it coming. And there's no stop to it. It's going to get more expensive. But Trump, I'm going to work a deal. Yeah, for that $1 billion, we got two of these instead of one. I mean, yay. I mean, it doesn't stop them from spending the money. So is there no hope? I mean, where's the other side?
Yeah, well, I'm with you, man. I want to remind people about World War One because, you know, I think the basic understanding is that, yeah, you know, the Americans – we can pick on countries full of little helpless brown peasants who can't possibly fight back. They don't even have an air force, this kind of thing. But as far as a real war with a real country that could fight back, like Russia or China, that could erase Los Angeles in an instant, just for one example, this kind of thing, People think that, well, no, that's not going to happen because the people in charge on our side and on their side wouldn't take the risks that could lead to something getting that out of hand. But that's just wrong. And World War I is the real precedent for that. If people will look at what happened there, and everybody says, and it's true, it's, you know, it's the conventional wisdom is all this happened over the assassination of an archduke. An Austrian archduke was shot in Serbia by some right-wing Serbian nationalists who wanted Austria the hell out of Serbia. Free Serbia! And they got tens of millions of people killed as Russia and Germany and France and Britain and the Ottomans and the Italians and everybody jumped into this war. And it, you know, like William Lynn says, this is when Western civilization blew its brains out. The rest of all the history since then is just the corpse twitching on the floor. You know, this was the suicide of a civilization. And it happened because, well, the Germans had their Scheifen plan that says, if this happens, then you do this. All this stuff was a doctrine. This is how we're supposed to react. And then the British and the French had a secret treaty. So the British had promised to jump in, but the fact that they had promised was no deterrent to the Germans because they didn't know about it. It was a secret. The whole thing, in other words, was a big blundering bunch of idiots stepping on their own cocks and getting tens of millions of people killed, ruining everything, creating as a result the 20th century of totalitarianism, the Second World War, communism in Russia and in China and Asia, Nazism in Germany, and then, for that matter, the American Empire and its Nazi reign of genocide and the 10-something or more million people it's killed since America inherited the European world empires after World War II. This is all because of a bunch of stupid blunders back in 1914, 17, 19.
Well, I'm seeing a freaking roadmap for this one.
This can't happen. Can Trump blunder us into a nuclear H-bomb war with China? Oh, sure he can.
It's not impossible, just because it's unthinkable. It's likely. I mean, it's you know, we're putting all, I don't know, what do you need to have a military confrontation with China? Navy, you know, bases all around. I mean, you see that thing in Europe, you go, oh, the Russians, you know, are bad and they're such a threat. Look how close they are to all our military bases that are surrounding it. And then you look at, you know, China, and you just do the same thing with the Navy. I mean, you know, or, you know, and you got South Korea and, you know, Japan and India, and you got, and then what's Russia, I mean, China do? Yeah, we're just doing the Silk Road. We're just doing a train, bullet train to, you know, boom, a couple of days, and you get shipped all over in Europe and China. Yep, done. We don't need ships. We've got, you know, done. We're just directly done. Now what? Well, you're not allowed. And it's just, I can see it building up, and we're being manipulated into this for another generation of war with China. It's like they've been on a shelf. And if we can't get Russia, we'll get China. And if we can't do it, hell, we'll just, you know, put them both together. And what happened for the first time? In the last few years, we're having joint naval exercises between, you know, with Russia and China on one side. And we're going to go what? Oh, yeah, and they got satellites and hypersonics, and let's go poke that bear? I vote not. Nope, not an option.
Why did you move?
This is not going well. And I'm wondering, you know, Trump is, you know, so let's talk about the McMaster thing. I got McMaster up there, and the criticism is not that he's not, you know, let's go kick ass enough, is that, you know, he doesn't know the South China Sea enough. Well, would he know it enough, in their opinion, if he knew we're going to go kick ass? We got a challenge. We're going to go, oh, well, now he knows because he understands. He's doing what we want. He understands because he's doing what we want. You feel me?
Yeah.
So, McMaster, what's his thing? You know, I mean, why? You know, see, he wanted to focus on McMaster and how and what he should be doing. And I was more, and Andrew, I'm going, wait. Let's find out more about you. I mean, what do you think the position should be? What do you think there should be done? That's going to tell me everything about why you would endorse or not endorse somebody. You know, it's policy. His policy is we engage. How? Why? I don't know, but we're engaging. You know, and I'm, well, okay, I want to engage with trade. I want to engage on eBay. I want to engage. I'm doing, what's going to happen? Nope, not allowed. Extra, you know, that customs thing doesn't get cleared, and that taxes did, and tariff and duty of the kind of thing. I'm going, this is not. That's not where this is going. And it's going to be, you know, the people rising up everywhere all the time, a generational thing, and these guys don't see it. Now, you can have all the evidence of it. You have all what's going on in Europe with the people. You got this pirate party thing. You got the anti-European thing, the Brexit thing. You have, you know, the Ron Paul thing. You got freaking the Trump thing. You got Le Pen, you know, in France thing. You got all the crap in the Middle East and the immigrants going into Europe and we tried and Soros, you know, doing and making. We just got money. We're going to, you know, do, it's the elite and in charge and shiny badgers. And we get them to say, screw what the people want when they're all communicating on the internet directly anyway. And then what happens? Then you got, oh, we're going to control the media. We're going to control access. We got Google's going to take care of it for us. We're going to, you know, search engine, you know, what gets done. They've messed up in the last couple of weeks when they did the natural news thing and they were screwing around with their Google whatever. They went and changed something and my traffic doubled. And I'm going, yeah, that happens for a little while. But the Alexa, which is Amazon, the ranking on there went down. You know, it's going, I'm going, what the hell is these always kind of go together? They're just playing with us. And it's to what? Engage. I don't want to engage anymore. But you, these guys that make themselves available, they'll go, well, I'm against that or for this. Right? But it's all about how we're going to engage. It's not if we're going to engage militarily. And this never worked out well. So the pressure from the deep state.
Let me interrupt you for a second here. Basevich is not saying that anybody needs to start a fight over there. What Basevich is
saying, you better have all your shit there in case you need to.
He believes that American power over there is keeping the peace, and that if we left, that would is what would cause war to break out.
Right.
I'm not saying I agree with him.
No, that's exactly what he was saying.
Don't say that he's saying, come on, let's go get in a fight.
He goes, oh, no, it didn't work in the Middle East, but that was different. Let's go do it over here. We'll do it different. And I'm going, what? And with these crazy people doing whatever the hell, and I'm going to, let's go take all their pieces in the Axis and Allies game, move them all over in the South China Sea, and then China won't screw with us?
Hang on, though. What happened in the Middle East was that George W. Bush rolled the entire goddamn 3rd Infantry Division in from Kuwait.
Which is what they want us to do in South China Sea.
He's not saying anything like that. What he's saying is, let's keep China good and contained. And so that,
oh yeah, that'll work well.
Let's keep Japan and Korea and Vietnam and the Philippines reassured that somebody bigger has their back so that they don't do anything stupid and start a conflict. So I'm not saying I agree with the policy, but I'm saying
coming back,
that's
coming
not
back.
The same as
favorite
saying
shows via their websites and become an amplifier at amp.lrn.fm. That's amp.lrn.fm.
And now live from the studios of Freedom's Phoenix, Ernest Hancock.
Yeah, we just might as well. Trump! You know, this is, I'm, you know, it's, you know, I try and bring in the other side, where the side is and perspective of and having discussion. And they, and I don't like, and I won't let someone use this show or what we do as a mechanism to propagate, you know, we're going to engage, you know, and kind of give that credibility without challenging it. You know, and that's what you're upset. Hey, man, I'm here to promote the whatever, and you don't get it, and you don't understand how complicated. Yeah, I understand it hasn't worked. I understand what you're advocating, the same crap that's been going on how we got here. I understand that. I understand they don't have to fire a freaking single missile if they can bring us Osama bin Laden. This is Scott Horton, man. He's saying, yeah, I want you to come over here so I can fight you over here. Thank you. You know, we did it to the Russians. You know, we can do it to you all over and bleed us dry. It may take longer. We have an enormous economy compared to, but man, we're burning through money we don't have right freaking now. And amazing that we're going up against China. Well, China was the one that was funding all our crap going in the Middle East with buying our debt. And I'm going, and then they're starting to divest themselves at a record rate of, nope, we're not funding you to come after us. That'd be like dumb, you know? So we're what? Just print more money. You know, and they just keep printing more money, more money. And they put it out at low end for more money. And I'm going, this is a death spiral. And nobody even looks at the economics of America in our interest. How about we, you know, the dollar be worth something? How about that? Oh, we're going to go buy gold and silver. Ron Paul comes here Wednesday. You know, we had a big thing that the Arizona State Legislature, you know, they going, we're not going to
tax
it.
Wait, on the China debt thing, I mean, I think you raise an important question about whether the Chinese looked at George Bush and said, we ought to have as a military policy that we will buy American debt, that we will encourage these idiot Americans to continue doing bin Laden's bidding over there in Mesopotamia and leave us the hell alone. And if so, it worked.
Yeah, no, I'm thinking we're getting played here. And the people that, even if they know what they're doing is BS, they don't care. It's a short-term gain of we're getting pushed out to the public because
hey,
we advocate whatever.
Donald Trump just sent 2,500 soldiers to Kuwait.
Yep.
He already sent hundreds, and in other words, getting ready to join Iraq War III there in Mosul. And to occupy Iraqi Sunnistan afterwards. And he's also just escalated the numbers of special forces and even put in Marine Corps infantry, artillery, and regular foot soldiers on, or not soldiers, but, you know, yeah, infantry, Marines, on the ground in Syria. And they're talking about a major expansion. There's a reporter named James Gordon Meek at ABC News who does, you know, pretty solid work. The wife knows him. And he did a report saying that, oh, yeah, they're escalating, major troop escalation in Yemen, Iraq, Syria, and, I like this, North Africa. Because, hey, why be specific at all and say the country formerly known as Libya when you might want to include Algeria and Mali and God knows what in that, too, if you want. Yeah. It's on, man. Yeah. The terror war is being doubled and tripled as we speak.
Well, this is where Gates was coming in saying, look, man, they explained it to me. Here's the seven countries. Well, they haven't missed a beat. You know, I mean, there's a policy here. And and they want to, I see a carbon copy of it for the rest of the world and the planet and the money that needs to do it. I can see it's a propaganda campaign. And for this guy to, you know, come on, I mean, he seemed like a nice enough, intelligent, you know, knows his crap guy, but it's all in service of a philosophy of we're freaking engaged because that's the way the world works and we're just the way it is and we're locked into this, you know, death spiral and freaking we're going to wrap our arms and legs around this anvil and we're going to ride it all the way down to the bottom of Wild E. Coyote's Canyon. You know, damn it. I got a parachute, but I don't need it. I don't want it. I, you know, ooh, boom, a nice little puff of smoke.
I think, you know, a huge part of this is just the social psychology of the situation, right? We live in a world. He lives in a Washington, D.C., or I guess he lives in Boston, but it's all the same to me, Yankee Town up there in the Northeastern Corridor or whatever the hell. He lives and works among people who all think that you need a Pentagon, who all think that you need these armed services to do something, who can't imagine, who just, they can't. They never have in their lives imagined America with a Swiss foreign policy. They just can't. And the only time they ever heard anybody say we ought to have a Swiss foreign policy, it was Ron Paul. And they looked at him and they were like, well, he seems like a nice guy, but my identity does not line up well with his, and so shrug, end of argument. Because, you know, people go off their impressions, not real knowledge and facts and policies and decisions and reason. They go off of who do you fit in with. And everyone in D.C., even the most anti-war liberal internationalists, they don't talk like you and me about how we don't need this federal government at all, how we don't need the Pentagon at all. They ought to turn it into a library like FDR promised they would after the war and, you know, forget the whole thing. It's a insanely radically libertarian position to say we just don't need this empire at all. And so therefore, people who define themselves as more centrist and mainstream and acceptable than that can't adopt that opinion. Even if they feel it, they kind of go, well, maybe we need to stay in Korea. Or you know what I mean? Like Chris Preble at the Cato Institute. He knows better. And yet virtually every article he writes has some use for the military in there somewhere, even though you know he knows better, because I guess he figures that he'll sound too much like Scott and Ernie if he doesn't.
I mean,
I'm just making that up, but that's the way it seems to me.
No. I didn't want to bring a lot of the stuff up about Andrew because, you know, you get personal. I'll give you an example. He, you know, American historian. He specializes in international relations, security studies, American foreign policy, American diplomatic and military history. Professor emeritus of international relations and history at Boston University's Frederick S. Pardee School of Global Studies. So right there, you know, you okay, he's a part of a think tank, and we're going to advocate for something. Well, he retired, you know, Army branch of the Army, United States Army. He had the rank of colonel. He's former director of Boston University's Center for International Relations from 98 to 05, and now he's part of the, Pardee School of Global Studies. And he's been a big vocal critic of the occupation in Iraq. And in March 07, he described, Bush's endorsement of preventative wars as immoral, illicit, and imprudent. So he's against that.
His son was killed in Iraq.
Exactly.
War II, by the
and
way.
What happened? Andrew Basevich Jr., also an Army officer, died in fighting in Iraq in May of 07. So he has to have a part. So he's going to have, this Middle East thing, it's a bad idea and we shouldn't kind of get involved, engaged. But the exact same circumstance and attitude, we will engage in the South China Sea, and it sets up the same freaking thing that we get this mess in the Middle East, and we have the same pieces being moved around. It's just with ships now instead of tanks, or the same thing in the South China Sea. And I'm going,
I think that part of the reason that he doesn't see it your way also is like a category error, too, where the Iraq War, Iraq War II was the project, really, of the very top. The president, the vice president, and their neocon, fifth column, the separate government, as Powell called it, of Richard Perle and Paul Wolfowitz and Scooter Libby and the conspirators that lied us into Iraq War II. And so the rest of the foreign policy establishment, they all went along with it, but it wasn't really an entire consensus thing. It really was led from the
It's based on the idea that
That's what I'm saying is that because Iraq War II was such an exceptional circumstance that was really led by the cutting edge of the interventionist movement in D.C., that makes the liberal internationalists and the realists and the regular sort of conservative imperialists seem tame and seem legitimate by comparison.
Yeah,
so the Iraq War is sort of this really bad example that makes it seem like, well, that was bad, but that doesn't mean to call off the whole empire when, of course, it should.
It's just a matter of degree. They're like, we're going to do it differently. We're going to take this big hammer and we're going to hit that nail from a different angle or a different nail. But gosh darn it, there's a nail somewhere and I got a big freaking hammer. We'll be right back. Yeah. Scott Horton. Yeah, I'm...
What's funny, too, is look at Trump's staff. They're not just men with hammers in their hand. They are hammers. Right?
The
whole thing, like that whole metaphor about, if all you have is a hammer, everything looks like a nail. Well, dude, these men are themselves hammers. That's what McMaster and Mattis and Dunford and Kelly, who they are.
To what? To serve Trump's interest or to have a, you got your own guard dog and we're going to go and up against the deep state, or we're going to do the deep state desires my way, or
there are a lot of different factions. And I think what Trump did was to get himself elected. He knew he needed some part of the power elite, and so he went with the generals first and foremost. The bankers were never going to back him. The oil men were never going to back him. The arms industry, I think they probably, I don't know if they really backed him or not, but I'm sure they probably felt comfortable enough with him. But what he needed, though, was military men. And so he went to the Marines, apparently, especially, but he just went to them and told them, look, I worship you, dude, and I'm going to do whatever you want, and you ought to get behind my program here because it's your program, pal. And they said, okay. And I told you a year ago this is what he's going to do, and because he's illiterate, because he can't even read an article, much less a book, and so he doesn't know anything about anything except that, job one is pose as a macho alpha tough guy.
Make America great again.
The way you do that
again
is by telling Mattis to do whatever he wants. Mattis, do whatever you want.
Great. We're going to be great, whatever the hell that means. And we did the Trump report yesterday, and, Dr. Tamburi, he gets upset when, we have, like Davi and Keith and me and some friends, we're here and we're just doing, and he gets upset because he's not able to express support of different things without the counter argument coming in. I don't care what Sean Hannity says. I don't care what the these guys do. I don't, even if they agree or they point out, it doesn't matter who's really in charge. What is his goal? What is it? It's to be great. What the hell does that mean? What's the metric that they're measuring? And the impression that I'm getting, he likes doing this military thing because he likes saluting when he gets on, Chopper One. He means it. They respect it. He respects them. And he wants somebody to follow freaking orders. And, when I say, give me advice, I don't need a yes man. But when we agree and I tell you, don't lie to me or I'll Flynn fire you, So I'm going... I can see the chess pieces being moved on, but it's not like the deep state is playing Trump. It's like Trump is one of the chess pieces. They're moving him around, and I'm going, so he's not really on par engaging this future policy that the U.S. is going to have. It's already decided. It's just how he's going to, it's going to be propagated through him. And he will trade off support for some other build his wall or infrastructure and the left be all happy because we got new bridges or make work program or something. And here's, Ryan's Obamacare light or we're getting traded off. There's all kinds of stuff going on. And when you don't have any principles to guide you, you run up with this mess and it's going to be a mess.
That's exactly it. Is that, I think I may have said on the show before that if he wanted to say, if he had wanted to, he could have made a deal with Mattis that said, this is not my ideal, but I'm just saying real world here. He could have said to Mattis, listen, I'm going to let you beat the living crap out of ISIS and Al-Qaeda for 1.5 years. And then blam, that's it. We are calling it off. And I mean it that
I mean
you
it.
Have to be done. And then we're going back to peacetime and return to normalcy in a normal country in a normal time and all these things
all right,
and the era of good feelings.
Back when
but he hadn't thought. Done that because he's got no doctrine, like you said.
Free Radio Network at LRN.FM.
Rhodes? It's the Ernest Hancock Show. Where we're going, there aren't any roads.
Scott's helping me understand. We've been going through. I just see this is how wars and policy and directions of countries and debt of children and grandchildren. This is how it's done. This is it. You're watching it happen play out right now. And it's all that the decision has been made, a generation ago. Engage. It's our America and her interest. And her interest is whatever the hell they say it is. Keep America strong. Whatever the hell that means. And I'm going, it hasn't worked. We are in our weakest position we've ever been, and more aircraft carriers and missiles and space weapons or whatever is not going to make it better. Freedom makes it better. But that, you're just crazy. That's not even an option. Leave me aloneism is not even on the table. They don't even understand it. Austrian economics, gold standard, and I mentioned to him, I go, yeah, we just had Ron Paul here going on about, keeping, the dollar strong, making a deal that's the economy stupid. Well, here it comes. And I don't know any policy that you're going to do in foreign policy that's going to make the business of America's business any better. It's just not, it's not for people. It's for we. It's for corporations. It's for these large multinational, that aren't even freaking American. I don't care how many, a lot of these companies, they go, hell, they got, home offices and freaking everywhere. America is just a market share. It's just a group, one contract that got to negotiate of where we need to put how many plants to get favored status of, we get to make a lot more money. And with the protected monopoly of the government says, and we don't have to compete with intellectual property of, it's all horseshit. And I'm going, I am, and they be able to bring up and ask these guys to quite, okay, what is America's interest? Why are we, what, describe to me something I don't know. They can't. It's just the way it is. It's complicated. Okay, well, decomplicate it for me. Well, I can't. We're just going to go kick ass. That's the default position. Oh, okay.
You know what it is? I mean, it's since World War II. It's collective security. It's the entire premise of the UN and all this is that there's, because World War II was so damn bad that now we're going to have this world law and basically this sort of pseudo world federalism where the UN Security Council is the presidency, in a sense, and they are the ones who have the war power now, and no one else is allowed to change their borders other than through negotiations through the United Nations in order to prevent these kind of wars from ever happening again and all this. And it sounds all very baby blue flag, and it sounds like a bunch of peaceful meeting and diplomacy and whatever. But at the end of the day, as you've been really pointing out, especially in the context of China, if you're prepared to keep the peace, that means you own a world empire and you're prepared to start a major war. You're in a constant state. The United States of America is holding H-bombs over the heads of the rest of humanity. You better stay in line and obey the world law and be part of our little international community, as we call it, the euphemism for America's empire and America's international institutions. And so, you know, like we were talking about before the break there, it's not just the neocons, right? Iraq makes it look like, well, you know, the neocons are really the thing. No, the empire is really the thing. The entire American world empire. And yes, man, did they have Madison Avenue public relations to dress it up as all kinds of other things other than empire. But ultimately, and, you know, it was Bill Clinton's mentor, Carol Quigley, the author of Tragedy and Hope and the Anglo-American Establishment, who wrote all about the rise and fall of civilizations through the history of humanity. And you know how they die? They overextend themselves. And that's what you're supposed to not do. And so here Quigley, who, you know, by your and my standard, was no libertarian, the tragedy is that America's embraced world empire, that the military-industrial complex new right is going to drive it right into the ground, and the hope is that somebody will be smart enough to somehow rein it in and save the form of the republic to prevent total civilizational suicide, which is the path that we are on. And we've seen this movie before throughout human history. This is what happened. There's a great quote of Marcus Aurelius saying 2,000 years ago, saying, if you look back at history, you see all these great empires that rose and fell. And if you look closely, you can see the future, too. This is what we're supposed to be not doing. And here we are.
I'm looking at, you know, the discussion. And we've seen this before. I mean, you know, throughout, heck, you know, I've been running for office since 90. I mean, you know, I get it, you know. It is never, if you can control what options are, then it doesn't matter what, you know, support on which side. You control communist candidate A or fascist candidate B, or it's just how they're going to do the same policy. Now, we're going to be in charge of how we're going to whip ass. You know, no, we won't be in charge. We'll whip ass more than that guy. It's like watching, you know, Hillary versus Trump. No, I whip ass more than him. Oh, he doesn't know how to whip ass. We're going to whip ass. And where's the candidate? We're whipping ass? Why are we whipping ass? It's not whip ass. You know, nope, not with the program. And then you have all the media on both sides will go after this, and you can see it's so obvious. And then they'll, you know, do the Trump report, and Frank will get all worked up, you know, that Sean Hannity said this, and they're starting to mainstream media start. I'm going, who do you think they're talking to? They got an audience of a few million. Who cares? And 300-something million people, like they're just material supporting evidence for people to just kind of spew and regurgitate out to people and alt news or whatever and the internet. And then you got the search engines controlled by Google to be. It's just, we're just children, and we're livestock being fed crap. And there's no philosophical, you know. Just, I break with thee, and now it's got to be a candidate. You know, a philosophy, a party, a thing, or it's just people. And I think they're losing the eyeballs and ears of everyone. They can't manipulate and control. They're streaming everything they ever wanted to watch from India. You know, they're doing what, and they don't have control of them. So now we got to double down on the schools. We got to, you know, control that. Well, we're going to free the schools and let, no, we can't do that. No, find out. Man, we'll lose a whole generation of brainwashed kids. Then what? Well, we got enough vaccines for them. We're going to stop that. No, you can't stop that. That's how we got them, you know, distracting them. Blah, 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 blah. They don't understand there's a larger picture here, and it's about we do what the hell we're told, and in the name of our Social Security number, they can create debt that they sell to somebody and go spend it, and we're screwed until, and then they live in another country anyway and doesn't care, and America was where we used to be. And I'm going, and nobody sees it. Nobody explain. I mean, you know, Dr. Paul, of course, you know, comes out. But I won't be a willing servant for them to espouse their choice, which is really no choice at all. And where do I get that, Scott? Who do I go to? Who's going to represent peace?
What?
Who's going to represent peace? Who's going to represent not engagement? Who's going to represent none? Who's going to represent not? Who's going to represent?
Not Rand Paul. I mean, I don't know what to tell you, dude. I mean, honestly, I really feel bad. Not that, I mean, I'm sure I had 0.001% of an effect at all or whatever, but I begged Ron Paul to run again for president in 2012. And in retrospect, that was a mistake because the excitement of the revolution was all in 08. It wasn't really replicated in 12, although we did reach a lot of new people in 12. But if he hadn't have done that, he'd still be in the House right now. He'd still be on TV every day. And YouTubes of him, not just talking with Dan McAdams, but, you know, saying funny stuff about the truth to Wolf Blitzer and stuff like that would still be a daily kind of thing. But we have no, you know, Ron Paul
in
leadership on
a
national
high note
level anymore.
At a time in his life that he could devote, you know, his energy towards doing the show. He's real. We just had him on.
And his show is great. I mean, I watch it every day. I hope everybody does. He
no,
and Dan
we post it all
heroes,
the time. You know? That's where he thinks he does the most good. He's on record. Yeah. That's what his 1 minute speeches were all this time. And now he can do it on video with somebody. He's like, yeah, I got it, man. I just saw him Wednesday. You know, we're hanging. I'm telling you, man, he's all about, he's happy where he's at. He left on a good time, and it's all going to come down the way that he anticipated. And these guys, his opinion, you mentioned Ron Paul, and they just get, you know, scales on their eyes. That's just crazy talk. Why? Well, because it is. Because.
Well, because his son decided to run as Jeb and to completely forsake his father's entire legacy, which is what put him in the Senate in the first place, and completely sell out, call for declarations of war, call for hikes in defense spending and all kinds of crazy stuff. And so everybody was turning their lonely eyes to him, and he completely and totally blew it. And so here we are in 2017 with no Ron Paul at all on the national level, really, to speak for us, unfortunately.
Yeah, I'm, you know, well, thanks for, you know, helping me with that. I'm just a discussion. They think I'm just being obstinate or I don't understand. I understand perfectly.
I think you're right.
They're going to commit us into something for whatever excuse, and gosh darn it, we can't commit and cause a problem unless we got a bunch of ships over there doing it. And then we got to get the Philippines back in line. I guarantee the CIA wants to replace Duarte or whatever, the Philippine guy. He definitely went off rails. So there's a whole program going
there.
Well,
he didn't close the naval base. I mean, he's playing ball.
Oh, is that the main
thing? He knows better. He don't want to get shot, you know.
So that's his main thing. I can do all and yell all I want and then, you know, whatever. Yeah, you want to get rid of drug dealers? I can show you how to get rid of drug dealers.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know if they have that deal or not. I mean, of course, as you and I know, that committing mass murder against drug dealers and drug users is simply, in effect, a method to hike the price, whether that was what he was trying to do or not.
Just eliminate
competition.
There's
a million reasons why that's never going to work. As far as actually getting rid of drugs.
It's going to make a shitload more money for whatever cartel's left standing when he gets his cut. You know, he's going after competition. It's too diversified. We need to consolidate this more. Hell, the CIA could be going, let me tell you how you do it. This is how you do it. You know, you can't trust any of this stuff. And it's always in my name. You know, it's always, and these guys come
out. You're right to assume the worst, that, you know, whatever he's doing, he's got at least a wink nudge from the U.S. And if he doesn't, then they're about to overthrow him and replace him with somebody worse, probably.
Well, see, my thing, you know, Andrew, I'm looking forward to this. He can have a thing about McMaster. Tell me, you know, what the policy. It was not about, you know, him or that he had some one policy or another. It's that he hadn't. We don't know yet. We don't know. What don't we know? We don't know if he's going to support the engagement in the South China Sea. If he would support the engagement in the South China Sea, then Andrew would endorse McMaster all to hell. That's, you know, we don't know. He doesn't really understand. He's Middle East. Now, if we're going to, you know, they're going to surround the Philippine Islands, the South China Sea, and Japan, and South Korea, and they're going to engage, and we're going to get some whip ass and satellites tasked to blah, blah, and the drones being the base of the. If we go and show our hand, we get our chest out, big, we go whip ass, then he'd be okay. And I'm going, this is how this shit starts. And there's no. I always do this, you know. I didn't do it with him, but usually, especially when it's Israel, I raise up my hand. I go, I just got a question. I got to go, oh, Mr. Carter, am I allowed not to care? Can I? Nope. engaged. That's xenophobic thinking, and we got to have aircraft carrier foreign policy. And I'm going, that attitude, regardless of what you advocate doing with it, regardless of whether you lost a son as a result of this kind of policy, to think that you're advocating something different is delusional. It is doing the same thing, and it's going to have the same results, and the only difference is you're using little toy battleships as opposed to, you know, troop carriers. And it's going to set us up, and it's affecting me. You know, there's no Muslim or Chinese guy that's got a gun to my head taking my crap in the name of whatever the hell. It's our own government. And I got 10 grandchildren. I don't fear them coming over. I fear in the, you know, the fear of them and what the hell my own government's already done. Done. It's not what they're going to do. They're doing it. And I'm going, who is, where's the sanity here? So you're still voting? Quit worrying about it. You know, get hell with them. I'm planning for something else. What? I don't know, but I ain't counting on them. So I'm really concerned. I think we're closer to some major military stuff now than we've ever been, and it's like they enjoy it. They want it. They need it. It raises their status as somebody to go to even talk about it. They get more calls to appear on whatever. They're gonna. So what do? I try and spike them as much as I can. Yeah, hey, man, there's this opinion. Let me just march out. There is an opinion out here. No, no, Dr. Paul kind of, oh, damn it. It's one of those guys. You know, you don't get it. It's more complicated. Oh, explain it to me. Well, it's our interest. Well, what's our interest? Well, our interest. You know, I'm telling you, Scott, I can't give these guys the deference that I think you may do because you're nicer than me. But I see this campaign, you know, of all these different interviews that they're really starting to come up in the last month, that I, instead of freedom-oriented guys and so on, you know, I have a big list, like just like you, that I could go to your list, and these people that are advocating how we're going to engage. The option of not is not even discussed, and that scares me.
Yeah, no, you're right. I mean, that's the whole thing of it, dude, is the libertarians and the non-interventionists don't even have a seat at the table at any of these meetings ever. There's liberal interventionists, realists, and neoconservatives. And then the argument is simply about where to fight. And you could also characterize that as, you know, the different interests too. The bankers, the oil men, the military, the Israelis, and they fight over what we're going to do next. But that's the establishment. They're the ones in charge. And yeah, your interest, well, you live in Phoenix, Arizona. What industry in Phoenix, Arizona lives or dies by the empire, other than overall your economy sucks because of it? So, yeah, sorry. Yeah, it affects you, but you don't have a say in it.
I
And I got to go because I got to interview this guy and I'm late.
All right, peace. Bye.
Thanks, Ernie.